This is Crosswalk Talk with Carlotta Waldman. Carlotta is the founder of Crosswalk Life Ministries, an ordained minister of counseling, registered nurse, and Bible college educator. I'm Dan Baker, and welcome to this edition of our broadcast. Crosswalk Talk is a weekly Christian talk show all about knowing and experiencing God in our lives. We call it Crosswalk Talk because Jesus died on the cross and made it possible for us to walk the walk. And we all know that our walk talks much louder than our talk talks. This is your show, your opportunity to share true stories of healing, miracles, provision, and God intervening in the lives of people today. And now, here's Carlotta.
Good evening, and bless you for joining us. Hallelujah. I say the presence of the Lord is here, amen. We just welcome you, Lord. We welcome you to come into our hearts tonight and heal us. Expand our hearts so that we can receive your perfect love in new ways. We welcome you to make us into true expressions of your heart, to minister in your way and in your timing and with whom you choose. Amen. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for every person that has tuned in. We thank you that tonight you're going to take us to some areas of unfinished business and it will be finished. We thank you that you're going to prepare us, make us ready to go through those open doors that you've got for us. We thank you that in places where maybe we've closed doors in a wrong way, that you're going to show us how to get things finished and to close them in a good way, if that makes sense. We thank you, Lord, that you said you came to bind up the brokenhearted in Isaiah 61:1. But your plan is that we will be able to love you with our whole heart and love others as ourselves. We thank you, Lord, that Christ in us is able to love everyone, and this is a mission possible. We thank you that even our motivations will be purified tonight. We'll be able to discern ourselves and others. We're going to be that person that you can trust to love others as ourselves, to bless others and not curse them, that we will be that person that you can live through, and that when others are caught in a trap or in a snare, it will be that person that you can trust to pray, to intercede, and even to carry a burden with you. Thank you, Lord. Well, I hope that you have a pen and paper tonight, because I believe that we're in agreement that you will have incredible insights, and I will too, that we'll have fresh revelation, areas in our lives that need a fresh look, that we'll have the courage and the strength to do that, and where the enemy has wanted to bring blocks in our life to cause us to be bound up, where he has wanted to just beat us up, where he's wanted to blindside us, where he's even wanted to blackmail us. You know, if you try to step out through your open doors this year, I'm going to expose you. We say that tonight we'll have open eyes to see our block, places where we have had a bad reaction or bad behavior, and wound up blaming others, maybe formed a habit of blaming others that's lasted 5, 10, 20 years. And we feel like the enemy has had something in his book of records against us. And in self-defense, maybe we judge and criticize others. But, Lord, we ask you to show us tonight if we have some unfinished business, and that we will be free, really healed and really free. Thank you, Lord. Show us if we've had boundaries with other people, but we're really just blocking what you wanted to do in our lives. Show us if we're the one that's tied up in the basement, like Luke 21 talks about the strong man. Or is that Luke 11? Well, I'll get to it. Talks about the strong man has control of your house, and I picture I'm tied up in the basement while he's been in control. I'm going to explain that in a minute. Lord, show us if there's any long-term anger with sin that's actually turning into bitterness, because we don't want to be that way. So I just said all these bees because I felt like today the Lord said this is not only the year of the bee, B-E-E, but he likes to do puns with me. I felt like he was saying this is the year of the bees to get the bees, the unfinished business that starts with B in our lives, whether we're being beaten up or wanting to beat others up, whether we're burned, whether we're burned out, whether we're being blindsided or blackmailed or blocked or have these bad reactions, bad behaviors, where we're blaming others, where we feel like Satan's got this book of records on us and it's like never over. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for real freedom. Real freedom. The Bible says, you're going to hear me say that a lot tonight, that when we have unresolved conflicts in our life, we have to be very careful to listen to the Holy Spirit and not push him away and defend ourselves, because it says he wants to come in Hebrews 12:12-15 and strengthen our feeble arms and weak knees. He wants us not to be disabled, one version says, but rather healed. And in Hebrews 12:15, that we should make every effort to live in peace with all men and to be holy, because without holiness, no one will see the Lord. Wow. Wow. So what is that? Verse 15 says, see to it that no one misses the grace of God and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. Now, there may be things that still run through our minds when we have ruminating thoughts, when we remember hurts from the past. We remember where people let us down or weren't there for us or damaged us somehow. There may be things that still go through our minds when we see them or a picture of them, or maybe we think of the hurt that's been caused by the division or the silent treatment or the strife. At any rate, there wasn't a full reconciliation. You might say, well, I couldn't. I tried. And I understand that. I understand that. Believe me, I'm going to be empathizing with not only you, but I'm the one that collected all these verses because I didn't know what to do next. I just didn't know how to keep from letting a bitter root spring up, because it's like this was never over. But I want you to write down the names that the Holy Spirit brings to mind tonight. Just write their name, but please don't make a list of what they did against you, because the key to getting free from the bondage that the enemy sought to bring in your life is to not focus on what they did unless you haven't forgiven them. This tonight is probably more for people that have already made every effort to forgive the other person, but they're still troubled. Get this, you're still troubled by your own reactions to them. It takes maturity and it takes honesty to admit. Some of us are afraid to be around other people because we're afraid of the intense emotions that will come up in our own heart. It's not even anymore about what they will do or have done. It's about the intense emotions that we will feel in our own hearts. God's just giving me this straight up right now. Thank you, Lord. In Matthew 18, it says that we have to forgive others from our heart. And we want to. We want to. We don't want to be turned over to the tormentors, as that parable says. You know, the man that The man that was forgiven for so much, but when someone owed him so little, he wouldn't forgive them. And God says, be careful to forgive others and from your heart. You might say, well, I can choose to forgive them. I can be willing to forgive them, but there's still a fear in my heart. There's still a fear. And, you know, forgiveness doesn't mean that they're innocent. It doesn't mean they'll be off the hook with God. And it doesn't mean that all the pain in my heart is healed immediately. But in order to give Jesus access to the pain in my heart, to heal it, I have to be willing to let him go into the back rooms of my heart and show me if I'm still having sinful reactions and sinful behaviors and still protecting my stronghold. So what do we mean by that? The devil sets us up. He sets us up to have sinful reactions. Now, what I want you to put on your paper tonight under that person's name isn't their sinful reactions and their sinful behaviors, because that's not what makes a stronghold in you. What I had to do was write down my sinful reactions to them and my sinful behaviors, or at least the ones that I would have done if I could have got away from it, got away with it. Size about what we could have said, should have said, you know, we could have done if we weren't a Christian, if we'd have fought, you know, we rehearse what we should have, you know, all that. But is it over yet? Is it ever going to be over? In Galatians 6, 1 through 3, we can read what our attitude should have been. Brothers, if someone's caught in a sin, you who are spiritual should restore him gently. I'm like, I want to restore him, all right, with a knuckle sandwich, you know. But it says you who are spiritual. And a lot of times we say, well, I just don't want to be the spiritual one first all the time. I'm tired of that. I'm done with this. But watch yourself, it says, or you may be tempted. And it encourages us to carry each other's burdens. And in this way, you'll fulfill the law of Christ. Anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Wow, that hit me between the eyes. Because in our pride, we think we're the innocent victim. You know, we look at the 90% that they were guilty and not the 10% that we were guilty. We don't want to be their burden bearer. We're tired of praying for them with no results. But there is now no condemnation, Romans 8:1 says, for those that are in Christ Jesus. And it may be that some of the people on your paper are believers also. But it's hard. You say, it's hard to see them as Christ in them because of the way they behave, what they didn't do or what they said. Thing is, you know what the enemy wants to do? He wants us to expect them to continue to be the way they used to be. He wants us to be accusers of the brethren. And what he particularly wants us to do is to say or to describe them as they were, like they're totally disloyal, they will betray you, you know, you can't trust that person, they don't walk what they talk, they're, you know, critical and judgmental, and they'll, you know, turn on you, so be careful. The more we say stuff like that, the more we're lining up with the accuser of the brethren, the more this unresolved conflict is not going to be resolved, because we're cursing them with our own mouth. But now get this last point. When you give a bad report and describe them in this way, even if you're just thinking it to yourself, when I rehearse these things in my mind, I'm not only cursing them and agreeing with the accuser of the brethren. Get this third point. The more I agree with the devil, the more I bind them to being the way I don't want them to be. The more I describe their downfalls, their weaknesses, their sins, and speak this bad report over them, the more I'm empowering the devil to keep them that way. Wow. The Bible says to think on what's lovely and true and good report, and you think, well, I can't think of what's true and good report about this person at the same time. Well, we can say, Jesus, help me to see them as you see them. Help me to know what my part is. What do you want me to speak over them? You say, bless your enemies. How do I do that? How do I do that? Help me to want to. Because you said, Matthew 6:14 through 15, For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your Heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive you your sins. And you say, Lord, does that mean that I have to quit saying their sins, how they fall short? What does forget mean? What does forgive mean? So let's just let the Holy Spirit, just let him speak to us. I want to give you a little test. Part of this is in the Strongholds course, but I can't begin to cover what's in the Strongholds course in a little radio program like this. I'm just going to ask you some things real quick, and I encourage you just to write down the key word. But again, I don't want to tempt you to judge and condemn them and criticize them again, because then you'll be worse off by the time this program's over than you were when it started. When I ask you these questions, I want you to think of your own sinful reactions, not to analyze yourself, but the Holy Spirit, show me if there's a stronghold in me because of my sinful reactions and sinful behaviors. And Lord, even if it was a long time ago, show me what sin you want me to confess so I can be free. I won't have a ball and chain around my foot to this forever. Lord, I tend to see myself as the innocent victim, but show me if there's a stronghold in me and if my reactions or my behaviors were sinful. Okay. Lord, set us free. Okay, here goes. Does my unforgiveness, resentment, or bitterness, even in my just my thought life, does it hurt me? Does it hurt them? Have I hesitated to forgive them before they truly repent? Did I open a door to a stronghold by the sinful way I reacted to them? Did I claim my rights rather than humble myself before you? Did I speak bitter judgment, bitter expectations over them, and help the devil imprison them in the very behavior I hated? Okay, here's some more. You ready? Are you unhappy to see them when they approach or might approach? Do you avoid fellowship with them? Do you just happen to be on the opposite side of the church or not invite them or forget to include them? Does your mind still rehearse what you could have said to them? Do you still think of things you could have done to retaliate? Have you lost spiritual power, even though this is a long time ago? Have you had trouble entering into God's presence? Have your prayers been falling to the ground? Do you have physical problems, aches, and pains that have no cure? Do periods of despondency return quickly after joyful times? Is your sleep disturbed, not restful, or troubled with dreams? Dreams of fear, guilt, anxiety. So, how'd you do? You know, the Bible lists fleshly behaviors, and it actually lists wrath and strife in the middle of words relating to witchcraft. Does it feel like it's just normal to blame the other person because it was mostly them? Is this unresolved conflict with this person something that still affects your relationship with God? And you might say, isn't it healthy to have a fear of trusting them again? I'm just setting boundaries. Well, let's ask the Holy Spirit. Are you just setting boundaries, or are you blocking what the Holy Spirit wants to do between you and that person out of fear or self-righteousness? If so, ask the Holy Spirit, am I expecting you to forgive me when I'm not fully forgiving them? So, Lord, please, tonight, help me to see my unforgiveness or resentment or wrath. Help me, Lord. Job 41 talks about the pieces of armor of a couple of strongholds. They're called Leviathan and Behemoth. Leviathan's like the king of pride. Behemoth is similar, but Leviathan breaks up covenant relationships as possible. One of the chief ways is by making it hard for us to say we're sorry. And Behemoth comes against home ministries and businesses and groups. But tonight, Lord, we choose to receive your discernment to see if there's any darkness in the back room of our heart. We want to focus on ourselves. We want the truth to make us free. We want to allow you, Holy Spirit, and show us our motives. If we say that we're just practicing healthy boundaries, but we really have a motive that's not good, we have an intent. It's because of anger with sin. Show us, Lord. We choose to receive whatever you say, Lord. Show us. See, unforgiveness is like refusing to let that person off the hook with me. I still have a record. And if I'm faced with, say, having to get together with that person, be around them, immediately that record pops up. And I've got all these reasons why not to. Now, if that person's homicidal or raped you or something, we still have to apply these to some extent, but I won't be condemning you for having boundaries, okay? But this is more for people who have former friends or relatives, church members or whatever, that, you know, there's no real threat of being physically beat up or molested. That person's not a perpetrator. We just have an unresolved conflict with them. Maybe we're holding some resentment. You can write that down. In these pieces of armor, there's resentment, holding hard feelings. Not just a feeling. Actually, it has an emotion. Or a judgment where we've made a decision. We've drawn a conclusion about that person. We've condemned them for something. And we tend to focus on what they did, but actually even our prayers have been tainted because if we try to pray for that person in our own judgments the way we've judged them. See, it's not just anger, it's anger with sin. Another piece of the armor of this stronghold is a passionate displeasure. And we're going to talk in a minute about what anger with sin really is. You see, what the devil wants to do is to take this unforgiveness and resentment and these judgments and this anger and turn it into bitterness. And you might think that bitterness is something way worse than what you're capable of. I certainly did. But the Lord began to show me as I studied scriptures on it that bitterness was something that was in my heart. And a couple of people tried to tell me that, but I thought, oh, no, I'm not near that bad. I would sometimes think about, you know, if I wasn't a Christian, I could get revenge or I could retaliate this way. But mostly what I thought about is I wish that person be exposed. I wish people knew what they're like. And I kind of hoped that God would punish them. I was getting over into God's territory, really. I wanted to kind of advise him on punishing them because it just went on and on and on. This person's never going to repent. But if we continue, if we allow that, then we'll go into wrath. Wrath, where we get into a rage or we're infuriated or I would get livid sometimes. But see, we want to think of ourselves as walking in the Spirit, maybe baptized in the Spirit. We want to think of ourselves as a spiritual one. But when we've got these things in our heart, carnality shows. Carnality shows. And it can go into hatred. Hatred and intense ill will. Even if it was a long time ago, when you start thinking about that person again, do you feel some guilt about how you reacted or wanting to deny it, actually, not think about it, say, well, they're 90% guilty, so we don't have to focus on our 10%. But see, that's how the devil begins a stronghold in us. And the more we allow these things to just stay there, unforgiveness, resentment, and judgment, anger with sin, revenge and wrath and hatred, even though we probably would have never admitted it, then, see, this cycle begins where first we hate them and we can't tolerate that. That's no good. So then we begin to hate ourselves for ever having thoughts of hating them. Now the devil's got a cycle going because it seems impossible to totally forgive and to bless this person, to want their best interest and everything. And yet we can't tolerate the fact of thinking that we would hate somebody, so we might start hating ourselves for never getting over this. You know, maybe for some of you it's been 5, 10, 15, 20, 25 years, and you're not over this unresolved conflict yet. If you're like me, you think you are until you're around them again. And you are so, so uncomfortable. But it's not so much that they're doing anything necessarily. I was uncomfortable with my reactions, the thoughts that were going through my mind because the stronghold was still there. Now, if I allow that to continue, I might have fantasies of violence. Some, not necessarily physical violence, but in some way to cause injury or to intimidate them so they don't bother me anymore. Or imaginations, or conceiving of something that maybe I would never take action. Or maybe I would just hope that they, somebody else would do violence to them, or eliminate them, remove them, get rid of them. So I don't have to feel guilty. I just hope somebody else does it. Maybe they get fired or transferred or maybe have an accident. And you think, oh, my word, how can I think a thought like that? You see, what the devil wants to do is take us all the way down, all the way down to where it could be eliminated somehow. But there's one worse thing that he can do to us. Granted, homicide is the worst thing we can do to them. But there's something worse that he can do to us. And that is to get us to begin to just act out our anger with passive aggression. Do you know what that is? When you're passive aggressive, you might, like, set them up to be angry and then blame them for it. Set them up to overreact and hope to leave them holding a bag of guilt for it. Or set them up to have a sinful reaction to you and then run tell the pastor or your family or whoever, see, they hurt me again. But you know what? They say when you're passive-aggressive and you're just, like, late on purpose or do a job halfway or forget to invite them or, you know, it wasn't real gossip. It wasn't really that you slandered or frame them or anything. You just kind of acted out. You kind of just did the things that you know bother them. Isn't that one of the most common things? That people will do things that they know irritates the other person. But, see, like, if you're just late on purpose, you could claim your innocence. Like, I didn't mean to be late. I really meant to give you a ride. I wanted to. That's why I offered. Or, you know, you can do things and leave them half done. The statistics say that when we act out our anger like that and we're passive aggressive and then we pretend rather than just coming out and saying, I am angry at you, you are on my last nerves. If we just act it out, they say that that is worse on our own health than if we had gotten mad and if we had yelled. It's much better to get it out than to act it out. Then we both know I'm angry. We both know why. We, you know, you're not leaving them holding a bag of guilt when you plan the whole thing to set them up to fail. See, the Bible says in Galatians 5 that the practices of the flesh are clear. They're obvious. They are immorality, impurity, indecency, idolatry, sorcery. And after that it says enmity, strife, jealousy, anger or ill temper, divisions. It goes on. Now, who would think that this anger with sin and strife and enmity would be right there with idolatry and sorcery and witchcraft? Who would think? Now, it didn't say anger that's just honestly confessed. You know, if I just tell you, you know, I need some space right now because I'm starting to get angry at you. You know, you need to quit trying to control and push and manipulate me. That's not sin. But let's talk about it. What makes anger sinful? See, if we start off a conversation just saying, I'm too upset, we need to stop talking right now, and let's talk about this some more after supper, or another day and name the time, that's not sin. Now, if I stomp out of the house and leave you wondering if I'm ever coming home again, that's a totally different story. But if I say I want to understand you better, and, well, what did you just say? What did you mean by that? Or are you feeling really angry at me or whatever? Then you're just discussing it, and that's okay. Or even if you say I can't agree with you on that, but I can agree with you on the other part, then you're trying to discuss it. But now here's some things that you could write down that begin to get an anger with sin, okay? If you have, this is what I call the anger ladder that I shared some of last time from Dr. Campbell, but I want to make sure you get this because if you've got this anger ladder down, then you can catch yourself quicker. It's been very, very useful to me. If you look at somebody with just a negative, mean, proud, rejecting look, and you're condescending, judgmental, sarcastic, and saying ungodly beliefs about them, you'll never this, you're always that, then that's beginning to get into anger with sin. And if you get loud also with this really irritated tone that says, you're not allowed to feel or talk, you know, I'm not on your side, shut up, that's anger with sin. Or going down the anger ladder, if you have negative body language, walking out without a plan to resume talking, with a punishing attitude, you know, this will give them something to think about. I'll just leave and let them wonder if I'm ever coming back. Then a little further down the ladder, we've got overpowering them with threats, separating comments, general condemnations. You know, instead of staying on the subject, we start to put them in, you know, a general condemnation like, you know, you're evil, you're no good, you're always this, you're never that. Even constant interrupting and monopolizing so that there can't be a discussion. Keep talking over them, monopolizing the conversation, letting them know that you could care less what they've got to say or how they feel. Going further down the ladder, speaking what, in my dry English way, I would call a false identity over them, that you're trash, you're no good, you're a witch, you're evil, you're, well, we'll say there's a lot of things on this list that we won't say on the air. So when you get into yelling, attacking, cussing them out, or any type of verbal abuse, we're two-thirds down the anger ladder now. Now, I like this this ladder because I can kind of evaluate myself after and see how far down I went when I need to confess, than everything above. Public put-downs, uncovering them to other people, gossip and slander. So when we stoop to that level, we've gone way past anger with sin down to things that will do immeasurable amounts of damage. Some people would say, I'd rather you put me down and yell at me and accuse me than I would. I'd rather you beat me, do physical abuse, threaten me, break something at the house. I'd rather you do any of that than accuse me publicly. But here's we're two rungs from the bottom now. We've got passive aggression, any resistant action with intent to punish or to make sorry, or I would say to set that person up to fail, and then you act innocent like you didn't mean to do it on purpose just to incriminate them, or so you could run to the pastor saying, oh, look what they've said now. Of course, homicide is worse than that, of course. But when we start acting out these conflicts that way, that is bad on our health. That can make us sick. It can cause diseases. It's rottenness to our bones. The Bible says God wants us to prosper, body, soul, and spirit. But we've got to deal with these unresolved conflicts and turn these things over to God. We've got to let go of any felt right that we've got to blame them and condemn them forever. We've got to be willing to not only forgive them, but bless them. We've got to want restoration, as 2 Timothy says, that, you know, that we should want to restore them. We want to see them restored. Wow. Wow. In 1 John 1:7-9, it says, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And this can be one of the first indicators. You know, if we're claiming that we're without sin, it's all the other person. It says we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we'll confess our sins, he's faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us of all unrighteousness. And I say, Lord, that's what we want tonight. We want to finally look at our own sinful reactions and things that are still running through our minds. And, you know, you can't always stop the first thought from going through your mind. But as we talked about last time, it's not sin when we're first tempted, but it's sin when we begin to imagine a reaction. We begin to imagine behaviors. We begin to conceive a plan. Even if we never really carry it out, if we enjoy imagining it. 1 John 4:8 says there's no fear in love. Because a lot of times people say, well, I can't talk it out with them, or I can't reconcile. You know, I'm just too afraid and too anxious. But perfect love drives out fear, the Bible says. And we need to have a fear of the Lord that says, Lord, okay, I want to be willing tonight to trust you, to show a way, to bring the time elements or the situations, you know, an opportunity that this can be worked out. And you might say, well, I've already done that. I've done everything I know how to do. Well, let's say, Lord, we've done everything we know how to do, but we trust you to, you know, to work in our lives, work in the other person's lives if you want more done, you know, if there's more. Because 1 John 3:9 says, no one who is born of God will continue to sin because God's seed remains in him. He can't go on sinning as a way of life because he's been born of God. So we say, God, you said that because Jesus died on the cross and shed his blood for us, that we're not under the power of sin anymore, that you do make a way of escape for us in 1 Corinthians 10:13. So we're trusting you, Lord, if you're bringing these things to our heart tonight, that we'll no longer be stuck, be blocked our blessing won't be blocked, that we won't be prevented from going through our open doors because we're willing. We're willing to reconcile. We're willing to be restored and to pray for that other person to be restored. We're even willing to be their burden bearer and to pray for them. And Matthew 5:7 says, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall be shown mercy." We thank you, Lord. We thank you. And Isaiah 57:15 says that you're with the one who is contrite and lowly in spirit. We choose to receive that, Lord, that we receive the humility, that we'll stay in self-defense forever, blaming other people, thinking of them always as how they used to be, but we'll be willing to offer that second chance that we want. We'll pray for them to be restored the way we want to be restored. We want to be able to enter into your rest, Lord, like you talk about in Hebrews 4:9-11. We want to enter into your rest, that we won't have these ruminating thoughts that rehearse things anymore. We want to be able to express anger. Say we get into a time of arbitration or reconciliation or whatever. I'm really not addressing marriage issues so much tonight. It's, like I said, just friends or other church members or relatives, somebody that, you know, it's not as huge as a giant divorce case maybe. That is an important subject, but tonight I'm just talking about people that we ought to be able to reconcile with because they're not perpetrators. They're not. So that's who might have treated them like they are, but they're not. 3:3, it says, it's so sad. It says, we lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. We don't want that, God. We don't want to be the foolish, disobedient, deceived, and enslaved by all kinds of passionate feelings that are actually sin. So we want to submit ourselves to you, God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from us, in James 4:5-7. We want to really be submitted to you in our thoughts and to be an expression of the mind of Christ, be expression of the heart of God. Amen. We want to be able to give you our hurts and believe that you will take our hurts upon yourself, our wounds, all the damage that was done. And some of us have been through a lot. I understand that. I would say at least half the people that I do Restoration Prayer Ministry have been through things that are so bad that you just would hardly believe it. But, you know, sometimes those people find it easiest to let go. They're already convinced they don't want to stay in that prison of resentment or unforgiveness or bitterness any longer. And sometimes they let go faster than people that haven't really been through that much. So you said, God, in 3 John 2, that you want us to enjoy good health and that all may go well with us, even as our soul is getting along well. So if our soul is our mind, will, and emotions, Lord, we just bring that to you tonight and say, show us. Show us, Lord. You said in Romans 2:1 that we have no excuse, we who pass judgment on someone else. For whatever point we judge another, we're condemning ourselves. And so we say, Lord, show us. Show us if we're still passing judgment on anyone. We don't want to be that person in Luke 11:20-22 that has a strong man that's got control of us or our house and our future, our destiny and all is really bound up because of the strong man in our own life. It's not somebody else's stronghold that holds us back. It's our own. So we want to agree with Romans 12:18-19 that says, if it's possible, as far as it depends on you, to live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, it is mine to avenge, I will repay. And I can't take time to do it, but God has shown me many times. Later on, when I let go of it, God has shown me how he handled the other person, and he does so much better job than we can. Amen. Thank you. Because Romans 5, 22 says, I tell you that anyone who's angry with his brother will be subject to judgment. Of course, that means angry with sin, and that's why I went to the, I took the time to explain things that are angry with sin. But God says in verse 23, if we remember that our brother has something against us, to leave your gift in front of the altar. In other words, don't go on worshiping as if everything's fine. First go and be reconciled to your brother and then come and offer your gift. I know that in real life, I've had to do that with the same person several times, and sometimes people receive it and sometimes they don't. But I know I was obedient to go and say, tell me how I have hurt you. Now, don't go accusing them, really, saying, tell me why you're so angry. That's not really that repentant sounding. That's not, tell me how I've hurt you. And you may have some other suggestions. If you all want to call in with suggestions of things to say, I could really use the help, too. We want to be able to treat people with consideration and respect and love, not just return what they're dishing out. Because in James 3:16-18, it talks about where envy and strife is, and selfish ambition or self-defense and blaming and all that, you'll find disorder in every evil practice. Strife is way worse than we think. But the wisdom that comes from above is first pure and peace-loving and considerate and submissive and full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. And peacemakers who sow in peace raise a harvest of righteousness. I'm sorry, but I just keep picturing Jesus on the cross. He's just had everything done to him, said about him. Even his own friends, leaving the scene and not being there for him except for John and Mary Magdalene and his mother. But Jesus said, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I believe in the Garden of Gethsemane, he was praying for the very people that he knew would sin against him in every way that night and the next day. So is it possible for us to do all this? And I say yes. Come against a lie that says it's not possible for me to have love in my heart. It's not possible for me to totally forgive. It's not possible to let go. It's not possible to turn this over to God. It's in us if we're born again believers, and he will do it through us. We just have to be willing to say, Jesus, I want you to show me what to confess so that I can release you to love them through me. Thank you, Lord. And as Joseph said to his brothers, I don't even want you to be miserable about what you did to me. I don't even want you to hold it against yourself. Now, that's real freedom. That is real freedom. And then in Ephesians 4:1-3, then, as a prisoner of the Lord, then, not a prisoner of a stronghold, we can live a life worthy of the calling that we've received, be completely humble and gentle, be patient and bearing with one another in love, and make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Woo! So I want to encourage you. When you hear these introductory teachings, I'm not going to be able to share the whole Strongholds course on the air. Certainly not in 40 minutes, but I want to encourage you to get the Strongholds course. You are worth it. Your freedom is worth it. Your future and destiny is worth it. Because the verses that are in it, as you meditate on these verses and declare them, they're already, I've already got them grouped with each stronghold, and as you declare those verses and meditate on them, I'd say for about a week for each stronghold, the scripture will divide between soul and spirit. The scripture will show you the thoughts and intents of your heart. Listening to me tonight will only scratch the surface, but it won't set you free. And it's important to go through all these strongholds in order so that you won't become just a needless casualty of war. Just make yourself a target by skipping over to the one that you think you have. The one that we talked about tonight about unresolved conflicts is very, very important. It's important to pray these scriptures and to find the unresolved conflicts, the sinful reactions and sinful behaviors in our own hearts before we go on to trying to get the beam out of someone else's eye. Amen? Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Why don't we just stop a minute and just have a little bit of worship and say, Lord, I want to be able to worship you with a clean heart. I want to humble myself before you. Thank you, Lord. I want to humble myself before you and be that one with a contrite heart. I want you to show me. Show me how you see me so that I can be totally right with you, Lord.
Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah. Tonight we come to give you praise. Hallelujah. Give praise to Jesus, for he is the King. Let your voices ascend to his throne. On the wings of the music, let your hearts be raised, and in one accord make his praise known.
Worship you in spirit and truth. Thank you, Lord. Okay. I'd like to minister to some callers. And the number is 917-388-4683. 917-388-4683. I'd like to take those first who have a comment or question about the teaching. And let me say this. When you call in, you can call in using free Skype. If you have a Skype account, if you have just a listener account with Block Talk Radio, it takes both of those to be able to call in on Skype. But you can call in on the phone from anywhere, anytime. And if you have received ministry on this program in the last month, I'd like you to wait till the second half hour of ministry and leave this first half hour for new people or people that have not received ministry in the last 30 days. So if you've already pushed number one and you have received ministry in the last 30 days, then just push it again, and that'll take you out of the queue. So we have a lot of callers tonight, probably more than we've had in a long time. You know, God's just multiplying his word, because last month, even though I was, you know, out in school and all for 3 months, this spring, last month, we had the most downloads than we've had all year. Thank you very much. Thank you for inviting friends. And now what I'm going to do is recognize some callers. Want to take the new ones or the ones that haven't received ministry in the last 30 days, this first half hour. And what I'll do is I'll call out your area code, and if you'll just share with us your name and the city you're from. I want to encourage our listeners to ask God for a word. Even though you can't give it, say, God, you know, I want to be trained in hearing your voice and how to pray for people and to minister your word to people. And so just ask God for a word and see what you get, see if it's a compliment. We all receive in part, but see if it's a compliment to what God's saying, you know, the part that he gave me. Amen. Okay, let's see what God has to say. I just love to hear God's voice. Area code 561, welcome to the program.
Hi, how are you? Thank you.
I'm good. What's your name and city, please?
Yes, my name is Karen, and I'm calling from the Miami area.
Welcome, welcome. Glad to have you.
Thank you.
Did you have a comment or a question about the teaching tonight?
Yes, yes. You, when you first started teaching, you were talking about being there for, if I'm not quoting it well, you're talking about being there for someone. Maybe God put us in places where we can be there and just pray for them and intercede and kind of be that and carry. Not necessarily carry, I don't know if I'm quoting right, carry the burden for them in prayer. So that really ministered to me, and you were also talking about stronghold. So that ministered to me.
Yes, we want to get to that place where God can trust us to be someone's burden bearer when they're messing up, you know, rather than their accuser. Hallelujah.
Yeah, and so if you can pray for me about a current situation with my a CEO that I'm working with, I've been praying for her a lot. And sometimes I feel like I'm like, okay, God, when is it enough to pray for someone? So I don't know, like that. I don't know the answer to that question. So how do you know when it's enough to pray for someone?
Don't tell me much, and especially not about your CEO on the air.
Okay. Yeah, I won't do that.
These programs go in the archives, and so I want everybody to remember that when we're talking about unresolved conflicts tonight.
Okay, great.
Even if you know that person's not listening tonight, any day or night after this, they could listen, or someone else could listen and tell them.
That's
so
good.
We want to be sure to bless people even on the radio. Amen.
Yes, you're right. All right. Thank you.
Thank you, Lord.
And can you just pray for our relationship? We had a pretty, like, strong relationship. She, you know, if you can just, whatever the Lord leads you, pray about that and my purpose there.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, Karen, I'm seeing a seesaw. Do you know what a seesaw is, like in a children's playground?
Yeah.
Where there's a thick board, and if one sits on one end and they're heavier, the other end goes up, or vice versa?
Yes.
Well, we're designed, the Lord says. He brings people into our lives, and we're designed to balance each other out, or sometimes we're designed to grind. But what the devil wants to do is get all that out of balance. Instead of your seesaw going up and down with you having a interdependent relationship, and, you know, when one's up, the other one might be down, but then the other one can lift that one up and all like a seesaw. God brings people in our lives that we're designed to bring each other into a greater balance. Sometimes we're opposite, sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we're like a lock and a key. But I just hear the Lord saying, trust me in your relationships, because I always have your best interest at heart. And I bring into your life that can hone you and prepare you to be stronger yourself. And sometimes I use their weaknesses to do that. Sometimes I use what to be their strengths to do that. But it's always for your good to make your weak places strong. So even as you keep your focus on me, the Lord says, and let your daily prayer be, say, God, show me what you're doing. Show me where you are in this. Show me how this is my best. The Lord says, even if the other person does things that you would say, but God, that's sin, or that's, the Lord says, if I allow something to come into your life, I'm actually blessing you with something that will fine-tune you, or I'm allowing them to behave in such a way that it's a mirror to you, because many times the Lord says us humans cannot see our own blind spots by definition, but when the Lord brings somebody along that has a similar blind spot, oh, we can see it in them.
And that's
why we shouldn't judge other people, because the Lord's just trying to show us our version of it, that we've got a similar thing in our own lives. So we just want to thank you now, Lord. I want to thank you for the people that you connect us with, and even for their weaknesses and their sins, because actually through their weaknesses that we can be made strong.
Yes,
thank you, Lord. Even as Paul said, he asked the Lord, I think, to remove somebody. Some people think it's an eyesight problem, which he probably did have. But the context of that scripture of making your weak places strong is actually that Satan had set somebody to buffet him. So it sounds like he's talking about with a human being that's aggravating him to me. But whatever you use, Lord, we want to welcome what you bring into our lives, because you're answering our prayers that we would grow in faith and be strong in the Lord. We want to be expressions of your heart, and we want to be demonstrations of your power. We want to preach a gospel that's your true gospel. Amen.
Yes, amen. Amen. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you. Have a great night.
You're welcome. You too, thank you.
Now, I want to remind everybody that if you'll note the time that you receive your prayer, prophetic word, or exhortation, or whatever, that was kind of a mixture that time, but if you'll note the time, then you can go back and use your play and pause button after this is in the archives, after the program. You can come back any day, and please do come back and write it all out word for word very, very carefully, because the Holy Spirit can work with that, and as you proclaim that each day, the word of the Lord over you, then you'll get more and more insight. It's just incredible. It's whether God's word is spoken or whether it's written, there's always more insight in it. Hallelujah. We just give you praise, Jesus. We just thank you. It's just mind-boggling to me how you want to interact with us, you tutor us, and you're always wanting to open our eyes and ears and give us more insight. Thank you, Lord. You're a good God. Area code 813, welcome to the program. 813.
Hello.
Welcome. What's your name and city?
My name is Marcus, and I'm from Eustis, Florida.
Was that Martin? What was it?
Marcus.
Marcus. Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah. Florida. Woohoo. All right, Marcus, did you have a question or comment on the teaching tonight?
No, ma'am, I caught the ass. I'm in the...
Are you there? Oh, no. Okay, the call was dropped. I hope Marcus will call back in. It was dropped. I don't see it. Okay. Let's take area code 407. Welcome to the program. Area code 407. Okay, everybody, pray. These folks are having trouble, but I don't see a problem on my end. I see area code 407. Are you there? Okay, I'm just going to move down the line here for a minute. Area code 214, welcome to the program.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good.
Hello.
Your name is?
Hi, Ashlyn, and I'm in Dallas.
What city?
I'm in Dallas.
Oh, Dallas. Okay, great. Wow.
So I called in. My sister invited me on the line tonight, and I had just went out with my mother and her boyfriend. They invited me out to eat for my birthday, and we sitting at the table, and I don't know, but out of nowhere, I begin to tell them how I was holding this unforgiveness in for my uncle. And I see my uncle every day, every other day. And I was just telling them, they know the situation, you know, of what happened when I was younger. Yeah, I won't. And I was just telling them how when he come around, so bothering that he act as if things never happened, you know. And I was just telling them that I guess I hope that one day he would just say, I'm sorry, or if I should just call him to the side and say, you know, I forgive you, or to work towards forgiving him, even with my father. But it was just so crazy because my sister had been telling me since earlier today to get on, and I immediately said I was going to get on. Didn't intend to talk, though, which I never do, but somehow I always end up talking. But
Don't tell me anymore. Don't tell me anymore, because it's harder for me to hear the Lord for you if I already know the whole story.
You're right. So I just want to tell you, I appreciate this tonight. This was just right on time for me. Definitely. I got blessed by this.
Thank you, Lord. Ashlyn, I think you're just more honest than some people. We all have somebody in our lives that we wonder if they are ever going to understand how badly they hurt us. And I hear the Lord saying, Ashlyn, don't put your life on hold waiting for that. Don't put your life on hold waiting for them to even acknowledge anything. Put your life on hold not forgiving them until they ask. The Lord says that the example that I've given you as I came, you know, as Jesus Christ, as a human being on earth, as I was forgiving them before they even did it, I forgave them saying, Lord, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And the Lord says the trick of the enemy is to cause us to wait for somebody else to be spiritual first. But we don't have to do that. We don't have to do that. Our lives don't have to be delayed. We don't have to be in the waiting room waiting for somebody else to understand. And the Lord says, you can turn that over to me, and I will manage it much better than you ever could. The Lord says, ask me, and I'll give you the ability to let go, to turn it over to me. Forgiving doesn't mean that they're innocent or they're off the hook with me, but it does mean that I can, that you're giving me access to heal you, to heal your heart. And The Lord says, I'll just connect you with people, even tonight. I'll connect you with people that can help you to understand what I'm saying to you, that can help you to let go, that can help you to understand what forgiveness is and what it's not. And the Lord says, there's a deep healing that I want to do in your heart because I know I was there. I shed tears with you. The Lord says, I know the depth of the wound. And the Lord says, I want to clean it out all the way to the original depth of the wound. And you may not think that sounds so good, but the Lord says, when I cleanse your heart, I clean the wound. When I do that, I will take the pain and leave you with the wisdom, and you will be free, and you will be healed. And if that person comes around and ever asks forgiveness, that'll just be the cherry on the sundae. But you will be free. You will be free. And the enemy won't be able to have his way with you, won't be able to have strongholds in you, and won't be able to cause you to overreact to other people and interrupt your future relationships because of unresolved conflict. And the Lord says, my desire, I died and shed my blood and rose so that you can be free. And that is not dependent on what anybody else chooses to do or say. You can be free regardless of what other people choose to do and say, if you will. If you will. Even now, I'm collecting tears. Collecting your tears, but I want you in alignment with me so that the enemy cannot run you around on this, okay? I want to be able to bless you. And there'll come a day, as you allow me, that you'll even be able to minister to the guilty party because you'll be able to look back and say, I was the guilty party once, and I didn't even know. But the Lord showed his grace and mercy and forgiveness to me. Thank you. Thank you. Are you okay?
Yes, I am.
Lord, are those tears salty?
Yeah.
Salty
yeah.
Tears are healing tears. They are salty tears. We thank you, Lord. We thank you that you wouldn't bring all this up if you weren't going to do a great work in all of our lives tonight.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Not just to relive something, definitely not. It's so that we can be free.
Yes, Lord.
Amen. Free to love without baggage from the past.
Yes,
thank
Lord.
You, Lord. Okay, I hope you'll email me and let me know what happened.
Okay, I will. Thank you.
CWT, that stands for Crosswalk Talk. The address is CWT at CWLINC.com. You can find that on the radio page or any of our websites like CrosswalkLife.com or NowFaithTV.com.
Okay, you said CWT at CWLINC.com?
INC. It stands for Crosswalk Life Incorporated. So it's CWT at CWLINC.com.
Okay.
And if you go to the chat room, I'm putting some addresses there too.
Okay.
Hope all of you will be our friend on Facebook too. You can always interact there. Thank you. I hope you have a
you
great
will.
Night.
Thank you.
Bless,
yeah.
Bless your sister for inviting you. Hallelujah. We just thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for people that care about other people and invite them and let them hear the word of the Lord that has such power in it. It's not my words that do, but the word of the Lord has such power in it. I never get tired of listening to him. Thank you, Lord. Area code 772, welcome to the program. Area code 772. You know, I wonder if some of these people have pushed number one and they didn't mean to. Because we don't usually, two or three people like this, maybe they didn't mean to. If you push number one and you don't really want to talk on the air, all you have to do is push number one again, and it will erase it, so I'm not drawn to your number, okay? Last call for 772. Okay, maybe that's the case. All right. Area code 813, welcome to the program.
Hello, I got disconnected earlier.
What's your name and city, please?
Marcus, Eustis, Florida.
Oh, okay. This is Marcus. Yay.
Yes,
okay,
how you
Marcus.
Doing?
Yeah,
I was just about to...
If you had a comment to make and then you disappeared, did you have a comment you wanted to make?
Yes, my phone hung up. I just want to say I caught the end of it. But that part when you were saying about hardening hard and people like holding stuff against you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I have like problem with I have people in my life that's like holding stuff against me, you know, and I ask them for forgiveness and I did things to them and ask them to forgive me, but it's like they're just after me, like, you know, doing everything to try to bring me down. And I'm a born again. I just got born again a Christian. You know, I changed my life. I've been through a lot, and I just came back to God. So I just want, like, prayer. And...
Okay. Well, Marcus, I hope that after the program's over that you can go back and hear the download, because I think a whole lot of us, if not all of us, have experienced that where somebody else isn't willing to reconcile and all. But tonight we spent our time focusing on, even if we were only the 10 or 20% guilty party, we spent our time focusing on letting God show us where we had sinful reactions so that we could get our side right with God. And I think you'll find that useful. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I'm picturing two little boys that are, well, it may not, your case may not be this exact case, but this is what I'm picturing. I'm picturing a scenario where there's two little boys that have a paper route, and one that's older and wiser, he's got the other one doing all the work, but then he didn't share the money with him. And as that little boy began to grow, he began to have resentment, because he began to realize that the bigger boy had had him doing all the work and didn't share the money. And I just hear the Lord saying that, Marcus, if you'll just sit down, pen and paper, and let me speak to your heart, that I will be faithful. I will show you the roots. I will give you the insights, and I will give you revelations on why these people are, quote, after you. I help you to see from their point of view what you could do different or what you could adjust or ask forgiveness for. And the Lord says that later you'll thank me. You'll thank me for these difficult situations, because you'll see that my heart is always to help you. Always to help you. Always to help you see how you can grow, how you can mature, how you can have better relationships. And even if they were the ones that were mostly guilty, the Lord says, I'm just wanting you to bloom. It's like a flower opening up, just wanting you to bloom and grow and be all you can be. My heart is always, in fact, I'm the one that taught you to walk when you were a child. My heart is to be your tutor.
And the Lord says a mature man can hear both sides. A mature man can welcome correction, and a mature man can make adjustments when they're around other people that are less mature or that are in the flesh. And the Lord says, I just want to bring you to the place where you're the mature man, you're the spiritual one, and even when the other person is all wrong, you'll be able to be my love to them. You'll be able to pray for them, bless them, and even be a part of their restoration. So I don't expect all this overnight, but the Lord says if you'll just make it a daily practice to just spend time and say, Lord, if you want me to be that one that helps to restore other people, I'm just going to believe you for a nugget each day. Just believe you for insight. Believe you for more revelation on how to be your heart to others. That I won't be the one with the chip on my shoulder or the grudge or the judgment in my heart. I'll be the one that you can love others through even when they're wrong. Thank you, Lord. Wow. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Can you relate to any of that, Marcus?
Yes.
Sounds like a lot, but...
Yeah, it was a lot, and that's everything. That's a lot that I've been going through, too. You hit it right on the head.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We all trust you for that one, Lord. We just trust you to teach us how to let you love people through us, even when they're wrong. Thank you, Lord. I hope you'll call back, Marcus, or listen to, this is actually our third in a series of introducing A Course on Strongholds. I hope you'll be able to listen to the last two, at least, that go with this.
Okay, I get with my friend. He's online. He's the one introduced me to it, and he'll go through it. He'll teach me how to do everything, how to go back on everything. I think he'll
okay.
be on all the time.
All right. Well, if you've got internet access, you can listen that way, or if that is the way, you can get to the archives. But we've got teachings like this that go all the way back to 2009.
Okay.
I hope you'll be able to join us again.
Okay, I will. Thank you. God bless.
God bless you, too. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And for those of you that understand the reason that we all need ministry training in these last days, I mean, heavy times are ahead of us, guys. And I've already put enough about that on Facebook, but... we've got big challenges ahead of us, bigger than we've known, and we really all need more teaching and training. So that's why we created NowFaith.tv, so that we can all, without having to have money, without having to be local, I mean, anybody with internet access can get ministry training at NowFaith.tv. And if you go there and click schools and click ministry training, you can begin. There's over 4 years of audio and video teachings there, so that no matter what country you're in, you can get more training. Regardless of your situation, your finances, your church, you can get it there at nowfaith.tv. Thank you, Lord. Okay, area code 713, welcome to the program.
Hi, thank you. Thank you for having me.
What's your name and city, please?
Jennifer, Houston, Texas.
Oh,
I was invited by one of my prayer leaders, or a lady who leads Bible study, a phone Bible study that I'm a part of. So.
Woo-hoo.
Thanks for having me.
Well, thank you for joining us. Did you have a comment or question about the teaching?
No, I'm just joining in for the first time, so I'm just... whatever, I'm just excited to be a part of it and glad to be listening in and to pray with everyone and just to sort of be guided. I don't know I'm not sure what to expect, but I know I've heard that you were that the Lord really used you, and this is, you know, very anointed. So I think it's a blessing that I was even invited. So I wanted to be obedient.
Well, everybody's invited. Anybody that's got internet access can join us. Or if you can't join us live, you know, on Monday nights, then you can always hear the programs in the archives as well. Jennifer, I just keep seeing these helium balloons above you, like if you had a whole bunch of them on strings and you were holding them together. And the Lord says, for one thing, it's a pun. The helium is spelled H-E-A-L-I-U-M. It's a pun that they're healing or helium balloons. And the Lord says that my heart toward you is always good. I can only act toward you in love. I always want to lift you up and to heal the brokenhearted areas of your heart. I always want to. But the enemy would want to come along and pop your balloons and take away your hope and take away your vision and cause you to be blocked so that you can't go forward, so that you'll be stuck. And the Lord says that I am working in your heart to bring healing and that you'll know that you've been set free and that you can walk in my freedom. But the enemy wants to put a ball and chain around your ankle and, you know, chain you to somebody else's choices or somebody else's actions. He wants you to get stuck focusing on people, get stuck in places of pain from the past and woundedness or taking offense or something like that. But the Lord says, I'm here tonight. If you'll just write those things down that I bring to your heart, to your mind, if you'll just give me those things and say, just pour your heart out, like David would do in the Psalms. Just pour your heart out and say, Lord, this hurt or that offended or, you know, that really damaged me. And just pour your heart out to me. Then I will take whatever you'll give me, whether it was shame or guilt, any kind of wound, anything that broke your heart. The Lord says, I will take it. I'll take the pain out of it. And I'll leave you with new insight and revelation so that you can minister to others. And the Lord says, it's actually a good thing that, and you'll actually thank me later for some of the things that you have been through, because instead of giving people pat answers, that you'll understand the work of my spirit. You'll understand my heart, that I would actually come in person as Jesus Christ to show you how I want to live the Christian life through you. You'll have greater understanding and fear of the Lord, and you'll be an expression of wisdom. And that people will say, oh, the wisdom that that woman has. And you'll know that you paid a price. You'll know that you didn't learn it just out of a book. But the Lord says, then I'm going to multiply those helium balloons as you allow me to work that healing in your own life. And you're going to be able to hand helium balloons to other people that need them so badly. Maybe they've listened to people in the community that are just burdened down with hatred and unforgiveness and have chips on their shoulder. But you'll be able to minister those helium balloons to them. And the more helium balloons you give away, the more there'll be. You'll never run out. You'll never run out. Amen?
Amen. Ooh.
I hope you like balloons.
I do.
Thank you, Lord. There's a little child in all of us that needs some helium balloons. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you. I hope you'll come back, and I hope you'll invite someone else.
Yes, I will. What's What's the name of the website, Now Ministry?
Our main website, the original website, was it's crosswalklife.com, crosswalklife.com. That's the original one, and at the top left, it says our website. And there's about half a dozen websites there, but then it doesn't even list yet our newest website, that is restorationprayerministry.com. That's the simplest one and easiest to navigate. But crosswalklife.com has about 200 articles on it, and people that like to read love to read those stories and testimonies. Nowfaith.tv has audios and videos, too.
Nowfaith, okay.
Nowfaith.tv.
.tv, okay.
Thank you. I'm so glad to have you.
Thank you so very much. Do I stay on the line or?
I'm going to mute you and then you can stay on the line. Okay? God bless
okay.
you.
Okay.
Thank you, Lord. We could all use some helium balloons. Amen? H-E-A-L. I-U-M. It's a pun. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that tonight you're showing us our hearts, but you're doing it with gentleness and kindness to restore us, amen, so that we can be ministers of restoration and reconciliation to others instead of condemnation or criticism or judgment. Thank you, Lord. Change our hearts. Amen. Amen. Area code 661, welcome to the program.
Hello there.
Hello, who's this, please?
Yes, this is Jermaine. I'm calling from Cleveland, Ohio.
I'm having trouble hearing you. What was your name?
Jermaine.
What was your name, please?
Jermaine.
Okay. Thank you. From Ohio. All right.
Yes.
Did you have a comment or question about the teaching?
You know, I was not able to listen to the beginning of the show, but I just saw the topic here, and I saw here you were talking about strongholds here, about conflicts and relationships with people and everything. And I don't know if you spoke about that, but I just wanted to add it to the show about especially forgiving others. And I know that that is a hard topic for some people to forgive others, and even when they're in the wrong.
Right.
And I just wanted to say that because I looked at this scripture, Ephesians 4:32, and it says, "Ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." And, you know, we tend to, like you said, we hold grudges over things that, you know, it's affecting our blessings. And I just wanted to say that, you know, if your Heavenly Father can forgive you, then you should be able to forgive others even when they're in the wrong and still form a relationship. And
amen.
I know it's easier said than done, but, you know, there's a term some people say, you know, I'll forgive you, but I won't forget what you did. Well, you haven't really forgiven that person because you said you were keeping it in your mind. You said, I won't forget what that person did. You have to let that stuff go and just trust in the Lord that, you know, that this person will not hold anything against you anymore, because I do believe the Lord has his back on you on everything that we do in life. So if Jesus had to struggle and he forgave others, he was here in the flesh, I just believe that we can forgive others and keep these all these strongholds and grudges and envy away from your mind and learn how to still think positive for the better. So that's all.
Amen.
I wanted to add to the show.
Yeah,
yes.
You did.
Yes.
Add, because we didn't really go that direction tonight. So that's the balance of it, forgiving other people for what they've done. Tonight we spent more time on saying, Lord, show me my side. Show me where I failed.
Yes. And that's partial of it, because we failed when we still have people, we're thinking about other people, what they have done to me, and, you know, we pretty much failed. You know, if we can't forgive them and correct it and move on, I believe even when you fail, God knows that, you know, there's always going to be open doors, opportunities for all of us. So if you fail, well, we have to learn to get up and keep trying, because Jesus is he's here to make sure and seek that you strive for victory. And
thank you.
I believe that, you know, no matter what your walk is in life, when you turn to Jesus, he will correct all your problems.
Okay. Do you want me to minister to you?
Yes, minister to me.
Okay. Thank you, Lord. That's Jermaine. Thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord. Actually, I was just picturing, thank you, Lord, that Jermaine has some nice weather this summer and it's not snowing yet. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Boy, the enemy has really wanted to use some subtle ways to get you off track, Jermaine. I mean, there's been those obvious things, but the enemy has wanted to use some subtle ways to get you off track. There's been times he wanted to trick you into taking offense, to focusing on the other person, to cause you to justify yourself instead of leaning on the fact that none of us are justified except as Jesus Christ justified us on the cross and with his shed blood. But the enemy, one of his slyest tricks, I hear the Lord saying, is to cause you to, quote, try harder, because the Lord says, I've actually been bringing you to that place where you come to the end of yourself in new ways, and I've allowed circumstances to come to bear that you couldn't handle with no amount of trying harder. But I wanted to bring you to a place where you just say, Lord, there's no way I can do this. Show me. And the Lord says, I'm teaching you in ways that few understand how to release me to do it through you. And I've allowed you to be in situations on purpose where no matter how hard you tried, you couldn't do it. Because I'm preparing you for what's to come. I'm preparing you for a more intimate relationship with me. But I'm preparing you to be able to enter into my rest and to know how to release me to do all things through you.
Yes, Lord.
And any area in you that would still try to do it for me, and, you know, and you have a good heart, you know, you want to live for Jesus, or, you know, you want to use me, but any area in you where there's still a confidence that you can do it for me, the Lord says, I'm bringing you into situations where you'll see that and you'll be able to let go and say, the only way I can live this Christian life is if I release you, Jesus, to do it through me.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. And so just trust me, the Lord says. Just trust me, because I've allowed difficult people to come into your life. I allow situations that are beyond your control. I've allowed challenges that are outside your comfort zone. But all these things are so that you'll say, okay, I'm willing to step out on that invisible bridge, but the only way The only way is if I release you, Jesus, to do it through me. In your power, in your presence, in your anointing, I'm done with trying to offer up, you know, what I can do for you. I realize I can't. I thank you, Lord, for bringing me into situations that can only be done in your power and your presence and anointing. And I thank you, Lord. I thank you. Amen.
Amen. Amen. I'm going to receive that. I'm going to receive that holy word because, I believe me, I'm innocent. You are so correct by that word because I am in a place where there's I feel uncomfortable. And sometimes, like you said, we get in a comfort zone, and a zone that's not comfortable. And we have to learn how to lean on Jesus to fight our battles for us. So,
amen.
Yes, I do believe you're so correct on that. And I'm going to receive that and get more intimate with our Lord, Savior, Jesus Christ. So,
thank you, Lord.
Yes.
Amen. Woo-hoo. All right.
Yes.
Be blessed. We'll join us again sometime. Thank you.
Yes,
thank you.
I will.
Okay. I hope that everyone that calls in tonight will note what time it is when they receive their prophetic prayer ministry so that they can go back, write out every word of it. Write out every word of it so you won't miss anything. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I hope you will order the Strongholds course because I'm just kind of giving you appetizers, asking you all these questions, but you listening to me will not set you free any more than all those sermons you've heard all your life. You've got to swing the sword of the Spirit. You've got to learn how to let the power of the Word divide between soul and spirit and the thoughts and intents of your heart. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. It will set us free. It'll make us well. It'll prosper us. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for your plans for us. We praise you, Jesus. Area code 310, welcome to the program.
Yes, it's Patty Brown in Los Angeles, California.
Oh, okay. Been missing you. Welcome back.
Well, thank you. And one comment on the helium balloons. I was thinking I'd had a situation where God led me to work for a woman who had many soul wounds and was trapped in unforgiveness.
Oh.
And God one day told me, take her multicolored helium balloons with colored strings.
Oh.
And I just thought, what? Well, I can't get them anywhere. And then I looked up, and there was a place I could get them as I was driving to work, and I bought them, and I gave them to the woman to take to her. And she didn't want to take them to her, but she did. And that opened up a whole discussion of talking about the Bible and being honest. Have you ever had a crisis of faith? Have you ever been unable to forgive? Have you had to fight to do that? And it all started with the helium balloons.
Well, thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. You just never know. You just never know. He had me buy a figurine for a lady once of a red-haired angel holding a dog, and I was like, why? You know, God, we don't buy each other gifts. And when I took it to her, I found out her dog had died that day. Never know. God gives gifts through us. Amen?
Amen. And through others for us. So I pray for myself and for everyone listening that we hear that voice and know that voice, hear it, and follow that lead and direction.
Amen. Mm. Well, hey, I just see you walking through a door, and on the other side of that door, it's everything you've been crying out for. It's not like it's hard to get to or anything, but it's just like walking from one place in life to another. And on that other side is the healing that you've cried out for, body, soul, and spirit. But there's also like a finishing school, if you will, but not the kind that probably pops into everybody's mind. It's a finishing school in the spirit. And in that school, it's not like the world appreciates, but it's a place where you're fine-tuned to be able to stay in tune with my spirit at all times. There's a fine-tuning there to be able to be tuned in the spiritual realm. And it's just a place where the gaps close and where the enemy has wanted to create gaps between you and me, the Lord says, that those things will be closed. And there's answers in that other room. There's answers for the questions you've had. But even the areas where you haven't accepted yourself and you've had questions in those areas and why things have gone the way they have, the Lord says, I'm going to meet you on the other side. And all you have to do is just figuratively walk through that door and say, Lord, enable me tonight. I receive it. Enable me to walk from the natural side, spiritual side. And, of course, you'll still be alive. It's not like dying in that sense. But the Lord says there is a dying to it, that where the enemy has caused pressures to come to bear to try to distress you about natural things. The Lord says, even in the midst of all that, even in the midst of it, it's not that it all disappears overnight, but even in the midst of that, as you walk through this door, you'll be able to keep your focus on me and have spiritual understanding like you've never had before. You'll be able to hear me as you focus on me and in the spiritual realm. You'll be able to hear me like you've never heard me before. You'll be able to sense my presence. You'll be able to tune into what my spirit is doing. But the Lord says, even on the days when the natural things press in and you feel like it's totally impossible to do this, you can just say to me, Lord, I choose to receive that word. I choose to just walk through the door right now and to live in the spiritual realm where what you say is the real reality, where when impossibilities come up, there's supernatural miracles, where there seems to be no way, there's supernatural interventions. And even in the areas where I haven't accepted myself and I've found it's just so hard to get my focus off the natural to the spiritual, Lord, I just receive your anointing. And the Lord says, I'm just wanting to build your identity on what I say about you in such a way that you will soon see yourself, and others will respect you for your anointing, which will completely outshine any asset you have in the natural. And the natural will just, in a way, it'll be there, but it just won't be how you define yourself at all, because you're just going to be so aware that you are known and you know me by the anointing.
Well, thank you, and I receive it. I have been praying about walking through a door. Sometimes I'm going, then I feel like I get pushed back, or it's just suddenly like blocks, big cement blocks making a wall, and I can't get in. I can't get over. I can't get around, or I get trapped in it. So this has been coming to me in my prayers and a great, I receive it and will hold that word. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. You're welcome. I think we all want to be able to walk in that. And I didn't use one of my favorite phrases because I didn't hear it at the time, but what we're describing here for Patty and for everybody that's a born-again believer, you can live in the fifth dimension, can even on earth. The natural circumstances and situations and challenges are still there, but we can live out of Christ in us who lives in the fifth dimension where there's no limit, even of time or space. And that's how we can enter into the rest, by knowing that he's not limited in any way and he lives through us, so we're ultimately we're not limited either. We've just got to get our eyes off the natural world and say, God, show me how to see through your eyes and by your spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Thank
you, Jesus. Well, that's what I want, Lord. That's what I want, too. Wow. Area code 469, welcome to the program.
Hello, it's Kanisha.
Kanisha, how are you?
I'm good. I just want to say thank you for, I mean, I know you didn't go into depths, but even what you shared tonight was so God and so right on time, and I'm just so grateful. Last week, almost everything you talked about last week, I was repenting for and saying, oh, my God, Lord, I am doing this person the very thing that I'm so frustrated that this person is doing other people. And so I repented for that. And then you spoke about understanding that it has to be Christ through us. And that was another thing that the Lord showed me last week, was that I can't even keep myself from doing these things, because I would say, I'm working on it or I'm working it out. But God said, no, this time I understood that, Lord, you have to do this through me.
Amen.
You have to set me free. You have to let me see people through your eyes. It has to be you living through me. So I just want to say thank you. I mean, I was guilty on almost every count. Tonight was just like so much confirmation and liberty at the same time, because when God instructs us and directs us and disciplines us, it's like a two-edged sword. It cuts, but at the same time, it brings healing and wholeness. So I just wanted to say I was grateful for this
thank
word
you, Lord.
Tonight.
Thank you, Lord. I want to say to those that have called in or anybody else that calls in right now, when you call in, especially like toward the end of the program like this, if we go over time, you'll probably still be able to hear. Whereas if you're just online, you may not hear the end of the program. So for whatever that's worth, let me go ahead and hear the Lord for Kanisha. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. I hear the Lord saying that what we talked about tonight was some of the deeper things. Because one of the hardest things for anybody to do is to have the courage to let me into the back rooms of their heart, the areas that are protected, that are defended, where there was pain and wounding. And, you know, we go into denial, the Lord says. We go into denial so that we won't hurt anymore. And the Lord says, I just want to come to everyone tonight, and to you, Kanisha, as the gentle one. And I'm imparting to you that through the spirit of gentleness, and it's almost like a gifting of mercy and grace to be able to restore people, because even though they recognize you as a woman of power and a woman of authority, they'll also recognize my gentleness. Yes. And wherever Jesus went, there was a recognition of the love and of the gentleness, and he didn't have to swing a big stick.
Yeah.
And he very seldom made it even that clear that he was God. When to come across his love and forgiveness and mercy and grace. And I just see the Lord putting a mantle on your shoulders of gentleness and mercy and grace and forgiveness.
Thank
his
you.
Mantle. And the Lord says, I want to operate through you, not only in spiritual power and authority, but with a new anointing.
Yes,
of love, that people will know they've been in my presence when they're around you, because they'll say the love was overpowering.
Yes.
And yet sometimes it's tough love. You know, sometimes it confronts. Sometimes it, you know, wants permission to speak into a person's life, even with words of correction. But the Lord says, I'm putting that mantle on your shoulders tonight, that they will know that I can only act towards them in love, and it will increase their ability to trust me. The Lord says, first of all, I'm working in your heart and increasing your ability to trust me, because some of the people that I'd like you to minister to, that they, when they're around nurturing people and when they're around loving people, they get really defensive, they test you, and they're difficult. And the Lord says, you'll need this mantle. I'm giving it to you because you're going to need it. You're going to need to know that you're okay because I say you're okay, not because people say you're okay.
Yes.
Thank you. Amen?
Yes.
Thank you, Lord. Let me see, Kanisha, if I can fit in one more person. One more person here. Area code 407, welcome to the program. Area code 407.
Hello.
Yes, what's your name and city, please?
My name is Sherelle. I'm in Houston.
I can't hear you.
Sherelle. I'm in Houston.
Okay. Thank you. Did you have a comment you wanted to make?
Yes, talking about forgiveness, I experienced that a lot. I've always experienced that since I've been growing up. I've been actually working on getting closer with God. Although I may not be where I want to be in my walk with Christ, I'm a work in progress. And, you know, it's like I never have a problem forgiving people, but sometimes the enemy tries to come and distract me and let the situation that I've forgiven someone arise again, and it's like, have I really forgiven this person? If it keeps coming back up because the situation keeps coming back up.
Right. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Well, Sherelle, the Lord says, I just am drawing you in and just drawing you in and increasing your trust in me and just bringing you that to that point where you trust me implicitly, and I'm just pulling you into my heart and expanding your heart to receive and giving you revelation beyond your understanding, wisdom beyond your years, and keen discernment. I just hear the Lord saying, my desire is to increase your discernment. And as you meditate on my word, please get these scriptures that go with this Tearing Down Strongholds course that we're talking about, because the Lord says, as you meditate on my word, you're going to be amazed every day that you do it. The keen discernment, how I wipe the cobwebs away that you didn't even know were there, how I increase your discernment of yourself, first of all. And the wise man can discern himself and others rightly. And the Lord says, even in places where you didn't even know there's a beam in your own eye, I'll be faithful to show you. But the Lord says, out of that's going to come a wisdom and an understanding, just the wisdom and understanding and the fear of the Lord, that you'll be able to discern others rightly. And people eventually will come to you, even like kind of like on consultation, to say, how can I be right with the Lord, and how can I operate in the wisdom myself But the Lord says, I'm just going to take you through some training classes. Just take you through. Just press in. Stay in my training school, because there's much, much, much wisdom that I want to deposit, much insight that I want to deposit, many revelations. But your rate of growth will be up to you. As you press into my school, I'm willing for you to grow as fast as you'll let me, but it'll take time, it'll take devotion, and just come sit at my feet and say, I'm here, Lord. I'm here, Lord. Tutor me. I want your revelations. I want your discernment. And show me what scriptures to meditate on now, and I'll just pull nuggets of gold out of them beyond your imagination, okay?
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Well, it's far bigger than you can imagine. It's just huge. You'll have firsthand revelations. Thank you, Lord. Ooh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I was just going to see if there was anything else. I think that's it for tonight. We're over time. I'm surprised if we're still on the air, but I just want to encourage you all to just join with me, just to lift up the name of Jesus. Remember to go to the website, use the search boxes on crosswalklife.com and nowfaith.tv, or use those search boxes and search for the areas that God brings to your mind. You can get a lot of insight and revelation right there. And I hope that you'll invite people to join us, because starting on August 25th of this year, 2014, we're going to have to change the time of this program because I have to finish my master's and I'll be in a class. So I meant to say that earlier. But I need suggestions on a different time to have this program besides Monday night. But we thank you, Lord. We thank you. You'll lead us and direct us.